This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer. And boy, we have been telling you about that golf outing. It is just around the corner now, coming up on May 22nd. I hope you've already signed up for it. Hope you've got your foursome together or signed up as an individual golfer. If not, it is not too late. We still have some slots open, and it's going to be a great day. Weather should be wonderful, and whether it is or not, we've got a wonderful day planned. It begins with Mass at 11 a.m., then a buffet luncheon and a full afternoon of golf and a great dinner that evening. I think it's going to be chicken and ribs. It's going to be great.
I'm looking forward to that.
And we're also going to have Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, as our speaker. And so he'll be able to give you firsthand what to expect this fall when you watch the Colts and talk about any new players they have. And, well, they might even let you know what the situation is with Andrew Luck and see what, as I understand it, that may still be up in the air a little bit. So we'll get it right from Chris Ballard himself at the golf outing, May 22nd. That's a Tuesday at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. If you like to golf, don't worry about how good you are. Most of our golfers spend a good lot of the time joking about how poorly they're playing. It doesn't matter. It's a golf outing. It's a fun day. And if you've ever held a golf club or never held a golf club, it's a great event. That's May 22nd, Tuesday, at Plum Creek Golf Club. You can register online at catholicradioindy.org, or you can call us here at the station at 317-870-8400.
And that's rain or shine, right?
Absolutely.
Rain or shine, no matter
what.
Yeah,
that's always a question that comes up, but the golf courses are booked for the whole season, and they don't book the weather. They just book the events.
Okay. Well, we know that now. I had that question, so I had to ask that, Jim. Well, we are joined in our guest in our studio today by my guest, Daniel Tews. He is a former Lutheran pastor, and we're going to hear about his conversion story to Catholicism. So welcome to Faith in Action.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And we were just talking about, you came into the church Easter 2016.
That's correct.
Let's start with, were you always Lutheran? Did you grow up Lutheran? Maybe tell us a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about yourself and what you did as a pastor. Preached, right?
That's right, amongst others. But grew up in a very, very faithful Lutheran family. My ancestors built the oldest Lutheran church in Wisconsin, so this has been a very long line of Lutherans. My dad's just retiring this year as a Lutheran teacher at a parochial school that I went to as a child. And I say that very proudly. That mm-hmm. It was the Lutheran faith that gave me my love for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I will, you know, no matter what the rest of the things happen, I will never begrudge that. I mean, that's a wonderful gift that, you know, I'm eternally thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
So
you grew up in Wisconsin?
I actually grew up in Indiana.
Okay.
No, just all my relatives live up there. So okay. We grew up in the Columbus, Indiana area.
Okay. And at what point did you feel like you had a call to be a pastor?
Well, that kind of wasn't till late. I had attended college for a while and then actually ended up joining the Marine Corps. And while I was in the Marine Corps, I was sent to Iraq. And
Daniel's kind of buff in here, so he's like, he looks like a Marine. So I'm sorry, I couldn't resist saying
well,
that.
Thanks.
You know?
But it was while I was in Iraq that I really felt a strong calling to become a pastor, which is something I had never really thought of any time before. I'd never mentioned it, but that was such a change that I kind of asked God for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't trust it right off the bat, but when I got home, the first person obviously I called was my wife, and our first conversation, she said, I have this weird feeling that you're supposed to be a pastor.
Wow.
Wow, that's incredible. So I thought, okay, well, there's my sign.
Check that off.
Well, I called my parents, mm-hmm. and they said the same thing. And then one of my sisters. So the Holy Spirit had done such a powerful answer to that prayer that I thought, all right, God, I surrender. I'll do it. So I went to the seminary. There's two Lutheran seminaries. I was Lutheran Church Missouri Synod,
mm-hmm.
and our big one is in St. Louis. So that's
okay.
where I went to school for 4 years for seminary.
So how, and really, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, on the way over here. I mean, I don't really think that there's a huge difference between, there's a lot of similarities between the Lutheran faith and the Catholic faith. Could you talk a little bit about maybe how they're the same and maybe how they're different, since you probably know that, really can answer that question?
Yeah, I think, you know, they really do, liturgically, mm-hmm. in many places, they look very much the same.
Yeah.
Many of the same things are there. So it wasn't a huge change for us to go from Lutheran church to Catholic Mass. That mm-hmm. was very similar. Now, where I think the differences are very profound are in theological differences.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I mean, the role of free will in the Lutherans kind of deny the role of free will in our conversion process and things like that. The Catholics, you know, tend to say that it's necessary, you know, at least cooperation with the first workings of the will of God. We have to cooperate with that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, obviously, last things, the sacrifice of the Mass. So they tend to be very theological things. But when they're played out, at least the part that most people see would be in the liturgy.
Yeah.
That's what they look very similar. But theologically, they are very different, very far apart.
So at what point, I guess I'm going to go ahead and reintroduce you because we're almost getting to that point. We're talking with Daniel Tews. He is a former Lutheran pastor. We're talking about his conversion story to Catholicism. So how long were you a pastor, and at what point did you start thinking maybe God's leading me to the Catholic faith?
I was did 1 year of a student pastor in a group with another pastor, and then I did about 4.5 years by myself. I was a pastor of 3 congregations up in rural South Dakota.
Okay.
And it was
I saw your phone number. I'm like, that's not Indiana. I'm like,
that's
where,
still South Dakota. Yes.
People with their cell phones, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter so much anymore.
It doesn't.
But it was I was a couple of years in, and it was just a kind of a weird conversation with another pastor friend that just about the sheer number of denominations.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, this was one, it was somebody that he knew that was another pastor that had was going about life as a mail carrier on Friday, heard the calling of the Holy Spirit, as he said, and by that Sunday was a pastor of a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, surely there's something wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I always wondered, you know, why, you know, we all have the scriptures available. According to Martin Luther, we ought to be able to read the scriptures and get the clear meaning of it. Anybody should be able to sit down with his or her Bible, read a passage, get the clear meaning of it. And yet the way that that actually plays out in real life, it's profoundly, profoundly different. That's just simply not true. Depending on how you number it, we're in the order of 30,000 denominations.
Sure.
And clearly that isn't the case.
And I mean, if you think about, you know, just time and history and things that the way that they were written then and what it meant, which would have been understood at the time to mean something, we're so far removed from when those were written. And if we don't have the historical or the cultural context of that, how do we know what
yes.
Jesus was saying? Certainly we have the Holy Spirit to help us, but we have so many different interpretations, people. So that's, I guess, was that one thing that kind of thought, well, the Catholic Church says, okay, well, this is what it means. Was that one of the things, or what? Go on with what you're talking about here.
I wasn't thinking of the Catholic Church specifically at
that
time.
Point. Okay.
I used to do a lot of study. I really took the study aspect of the pastoral ministry seriously,
mm-hmm.
and so spent, it was I had made it a pledge to spend the first half of my day in just study, just reading the scriptures, studying at the time with the Lutheran Church Fathers, and prayer. And I thought then the rest of the day was for all this. I was really scared to be a pastor, and I knew that I would need all of this stuff. And it helped wonderfully. I mean, the Holy Spirit answered those prayers, and it was great.
It's like, God, what have you gotten me into?
I know.
You pray a lot and stuff. Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, it's a big job.
Well, because you said at the beginning, you know, obviously the preaching is one aspect of it, but it's, you know, it's going with a police officer to tell a family that their son has died. You know, it's at the bedside of somebody breathing their last, and I'm a 20-something-year-old kid, and like, okay, this is, I need more than...
Help me God, right?
Help me God. I need more than just a class on social work from in seminary or something. These are real situations, and he did. I mean, the God was remarkably graceful in the grace that he gave me at those times, so
mm-hmm.
I'm thankful. But, I mean, you did need that time in prayer in order to have that. But it was at that time that I really was starting to wonder, why don't people kind of, in my mind, why don't they get it right? I had been taught in my Lutheran upbringing that the church was, if we could go back to the church that Jesus started, it would have been functionally Lutheran in its understanding of its theology and practice. And I guess we kind of, you know, it's somewhere in the 9th and 10th centuries that the Catholics kind of fouled it up. And so Martin Luther in the 16th century came back to bring it to its pristine shape as it was in the first century. Mm-hmm. That's what we had always been taught, even up to the seminary. Now, interestingly, the seminary, we didn't read a lot of the church fathers, the early church fathers. I mean, church history kind of started with Luther and maybe some little pre-Reformation guys, but we didn't read that. But I had in my study, I mean, just thousands of pages of the early church fathers. And I thought, well, I'm already spending this time in study. I thought, well, I'm going to go back to this, essentially, I guess, to prove Lutheranism, to say, look, this is what it was at the very beginning. I mean, we have stuff come from the first century. I mean, as soon as, before the New Testament was being put together, was finished being put together, there already were writings from some of these early church fathers. Mm-hmm. So I just started reading them, and it was that, you know, again, I still wasn't thinking of Catholicism in particular, mm-hmm. but I very, very early realized, you know, the church that I'm in doesn't look like the church that's here, that they're describing in these very early works.
Okay, if you're just joining us right now, I'm talking with Daniel Tews, the former Lutheran pastor, and we're talking about his conversion story to Catholicism, but we need to take a quick break, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400. And let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, even though I'm not a Catholic, I listen to your station.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with Daniel Tews, and he is talking about his conversion to Catholicism. Okay, so we're talking about, you were listening or you were reading the early church fathers. Describe who those are, if people don't know who the early church fathers are, they're listeners, they don't have a degree in theology, they maybe don't know who those are.
Well, that's a great question. I mean, simply because not only are people that don't know it, but I always tell people, if you want to see what I saw, they are immensely accessible right now with the internet. So I just decided that I was going to read them chronologically. So I went and just literally tried to find the first thing written after the New Testament. So that would be the Didache, which is kind of means the teaching. And then there's St. Clement, St. Ignatius, Tertullian. There's a Shepherd of Hermes, and kind of all the way up to, and really I really went a lot through St. Augustine, some of his writings in there. And so I always say, if somebody wants to see this, just, you know, put this into your search engine. You can find it. All of them are on that newadvent.org, but that's a Catholic site. But they're printed all over the place. So they're completely free. You can read them. They're also very short. And so that's
good for me.
It is. And they're really interesting. This is a community of believers that you know, some of these were taught by the disciples. And this is the church that they put into place. So they're fascinating readings. So at least, you know, for somebody that likes theology also, I loved reading them.
And so as a pastor, as a Lutheran pastor, you were reading just as your normal, you know, preparation for your day, your prayer and study, and you started reading the early church fathers, the ones that you just mentioned. And what did you discover in reading that?
Well, from the very beginning, I started realizing that they didn't look like the church that I was affiliated with. You know, and this wasn't enough that I thought, all right, I'm out, or anything like that. It just was kind of a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. Then, after just a few of these books, it suddenly started really getting into some things about the necessity of being subject to the bishops, and particularly the Bishop of Rome. So then suddenly we got into some very important, you know,
theological differences.
And specifically with church organization, and some very strong statements about if you're not you know, if you're not under the bishops and under the Pope, that that you're really out. You're part of a schismatic group. And so this, of course, was concerning, but it still, I still kept going. You know, there really was never one watershed moment that all of a sudden.
That's my question.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was very gradual. It was very gradual that I kept realizing that, you know, wait a minute, this is, if I were to go up in my pulpit on Sunday and preach what such and such church father said that I read today, I would be considered a heretic according to the Lutheran Church. I thought, well, wait a minute, these are, you know, whether or not I still believe that they were correct, it still was odd that how could they have fallen so far in, you know, the first generation after the apostles, and some were still, you know, with them. And so the differences were quite profound. So basically, this just kept going, and it ended up being about a 4-year process that I just, you know, just from just the smallest inklings at first, to as I got deeper into this, there were times it became very difficult. There were times that I was literally just in my office by myself, just yelling at what I was reading, because everything that I had been taught, these people were, in many cases, directly contradicting and saying, if you believe this, you're wrong. And I thought, you know, how can this possibly be?
So then, when did you start RCIA? Or talk a little bit more, and when did you start sharing this with your wife? Because you have a wife, and, you know, how did that, talk a little bit about that.
That was,
and also, you know, if you know, you were even being led down this path of being, becoming Catholic, you also were going to be giving up your livelihood.
Yes.
As a pastor too. So I've listened, and we talked just briefly at the break about, the Coming Home Network, which is a show about pastors who become former Christian pastors who become Catholic, and that journey. And it's interesting, they, you know, because they do talk about one of the big things is like, they, if they're going to become Catholic, they have to like leave everything in the sense, because they give up their livelihood. So when did you tell your wife, and then talk a little bit about your transition and when you actually decided to become Catholic and how that went?
Well, it was as I was, you know, getting more and more realizing that there were some serious differences with what I was reading. I did start to actually read some, I actually picked up a copy of the Catholic Catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, and as I was reading through that, I did realize that, and this was kind of another blow to what I had been taught, everything I kind of understood about the Catholic faith, I realized was wrong. The stuff that, you know, I believe they didn't, that they taught with the Catholic Catechism said much more nuanced in a much more scriptural and beautiful way than I had ever assumed. So this is when I started approaching my wife. And I, at first, I was just kind of dropping little hints. Just kind of, you know, honey, I think that there's something wrong with this, and look what the Catholic Church teaches. And the first time, she kind of just, oh, okay. You know, and after a couple more of these, she said, you know, Daniel, you're a Lutheran pastor. You can't be saying these things. But I kind of, so I'd leave it go for a little while. I wasn't trying to, at this point in time, because of those, you know, having to leave everything, it was such a significant decision, I wasn't taking it quickly. And so, again, this is over a period of years. But I kept kind of going more and more. And my wife, you know, she was part of a neat group, and she was having her own kind of conversion story simultaneously as mine, which I didn't even know, and she didn't know about mine. But the Holy Spirit was working both of us in parallel, which is, I mean, looking back, it was profoundly amazing. So that when it did actually come out, she said, you know, I know. And hers was just not at all theological. It was just because she was surrounded by beautiful Catholic women and that were living their faith faithfully. And she saw this and said, you know, just seeing the lives of these women look different than even her own life, her own faith life. And she said, what's the difference? So that was, the Holy Spirit was very much priming her.
Working both of you, right?
Yes, yes. Which they
working
got
you over.
Because, you know, like Scott Hahn, he, for so many years, his wife didn't come with him. And there's many others. That was difficult. I really got to the end. This would have been, I believe, 2014, I said, I was really tired of living kind of with one foot in both camps. That was very difficult. I was reading all this stuff in the week, and then, you know, still couldn't, you know, and
what am I going to preach about this week?
And I took very seriously my vows as a minister that I was not going to preach something that would have been contrary to the Lutheran, what I was told.
What you
to
made
preach.
A vow to,
yeah,
right?
That was important to me. So
and I understand
I
that.
Now, I was very, I was very helpful to Catholic causes in the meantime. If anybody had questions, I would always try to explain the Catholic position in the kindest way. People often ask about that, so I would not. I would always try to explain it in the kindest way. So I was able to do some kind of guerrilla evangelism, if you will, for the Catholic Church. But I was very faithful in the preaching, at least keeping the Lutheran perspective. But that last year, I approached seven other pastors that I was friends with and kind of laid out, these are my problems. And at that time, I even said, please show me where I'm wrong so I can stay. That was my livelihood. It was, our home was a parsonage, everything. That was what I went to school for. The biggest thing is I loved being a pastor. I loved it. I loved the visits. I loved the preaching. I loved the Bible studies. I loved teaching, all that stuff. And so I didn't want to be right. I was hoping somebody would say, no, Daniel, here it is. This is where it is. Oh, thank you. And then I could go right back to doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But in their defense, they hadn't spent the past several years studying this, but none of them had an answer. And there was nothing that could be said in specifically to the things that I had a problem with, which was a lot of things of, authority and so that was.
So then when did you and your wife, where did you do RCIA and how did that go? Talk about that. RCIA is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. So people entering into the Catholic Church, if you don't know what that is. So what did you do? How did you become Catholic?
So we talked to the priest in Annunciation Catholic Church in Brazil, Indiana.
Okay.
And got to talk to him and said that that's what we were looking at doing. And so he actually allowed us to start RCIA. They were using that formed.org program, one of the programs on there. I can't recall what it's called. But so we were able to watch the videos there. We did the first couple of months in that, ended up leaving the church, resigning my call in end of October of 2015, and moved home right at the beginning, and moved to the Terre Haute, Brazil area, and right in early November then. And so finished up RCIA at the church there, and then came in Easter Vigil 2016.
Now we don't have, we have 3 minutes, four minutes left. So how do you feel like God's using you now? I mean, obviously what kind of ministries are you doing right now? Because obviously you're a dad.
Yes, I'm a father of five children.
That's a big vocation.
And four of them are boys. So I've really gotten involved in Fraternus, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal young men's group. It's through fifth grade up through senior in high school, and it really teaches boys to be men. And so that was something. So with four sons, I thought,
oh, what a great, sounds great. I'm not familiar with it.
Oh, you've got to look into it. Father Hollowell, our priest, says that every church, if he becomes bishop, he's going to make every priest at least go listen to what they have to offer, because it's that good. I've been involved in youth ministry for decades, and it's the best thing I've ever been involved in. It's wonderful for youth.
And what is the name of it again?
Fraternus. They can find it online. They've got great stuff.
We're going to have somebody on talking about that. So
absolutely, so absolutely.
And what else? What else are you doing in terms of ministry right now?
I've started a men's just kind of an accountability group where we just get together after every mass and just kind of. And all it is, it's a 10-minute Bible study for men, because men don't like long Bible studies. And all we do is I encourage people to stay close to the sacraments to make sure that it's for everybody that has some sort of sin that we're all working on, some sort of vice or something that we're trying to go for. And so it's just the only way that we can do that is to stay close to the sacraments of reconciliation and of the Eucharist in the state of grace. So all we do is every week we ask each other, did you receive Jesus in the Eucharist? If you didn't, when are you going to go to confession? And we make us come up with a time, and then next week ask, did you go and did you receive Jesus again? And that's basically, and if we prayed for each other, we ask if we prayed for each other. And so that's a way that I think I've been able to, because I need this, I need the help, I need to continue my path towards holiness. And so if other people can do that too, that's been a neat way I've been.
Well, something that Jim and I have talked about, and something that we know happens because we get feedback from our listeners, there are listeners that are not Catholic. So, and we, when you listen to EWTN, you hear stories all the time about, I listened to Catholic radio for 2 years and now I want to become Catholic. If there are some people out there right now that are listening that may not be Catholic, Ed, but maybe would like to learn more about the Catholic faith. I mean, would you be willing to talk to them?
Absolutely, absolutely,
and
yes.
And what advice would you give for them? And then let's get your email, okay?
All right,
so people
all right.
could get in touch with you to talk to you if they want to.
My biggest thing to say is go back to the sources. I mean, we can always read things that are somebody's perspective on something else, but at least for my path, it was so helpful reading the early church. When we know what the early church looked like based on what the people wrote, read that. Again, just read the Didache, read St. Ignatius, read St. Clement. Just they're very short, and it's an easy way to kind of at least see. And then, yeah, I'd love to talk more. I've got...
Let's get your email and your phone. You're going to get a bunch of emails.
I know.
But hey, here's your new ministry, right?
That's right. It's a gift that God's given me, this path. And if I can use that to help others, that's a wonderful thing. And then it isn't, not that it was a waste, but it certainly that path hasn't been wasted. So
God has a plan, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I truly believe that.
All right, Daniel, go ahead and give us your email and your phone number.
All right. Email address is Daniel2s, DanielTews, and then the number 111 at gmail.com. And phone number is 812-233-3694.
And we might also mention for people who are kind of in the boat you were talking about there of maybe not being Catholic, thinking about it, just not sure what way to go. Every parish, the church nearest your house, Catholic church nearest your house, does offer an RCIA program, and go try it. It's not a high-pressure thing. It's not like if you go and say, gee, I want to take RCIA, you're automatically on the path and no turning off, you're stuck. No, it's not like that at all.
Right.
It's a chance to learn about it, and every parish offers it, so check it out, RCIA.
And we have a lot of resources on Catholic Radio. Jim, why don't you give us our web address so people want to find out more about Catholic Radio or just get plugged
sure.
in.
www.catholicradioindy.org. Lots of good things there.
Yeah, really great resources. Thank you, Daniel Tews, a former Lutheran pastor, telling about his conversion story to Catholicism. We wish you all the best.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me today.
You bet. God bless.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.